Blog Talk Radio.
$5, man.
Yeah, bro.
Look here, run this car speed for me right quick, okay? Run this car speed for me. I'm just going to walk the street.
Can I get mad?
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get in that cell, nigger.
God. No.
Everyone, this is Cheyenne. Sorry I was a few minutes late today, but all praise to the Most High God, we here. And guess what? It's another first day of the week, and we starting all over again. It seems like the Sabbath just came and went. Don't forget tonight, we meet at 8 o'clock to take out the season, Holy Day, where we come in and celebrate the new season. So this is yesterday, starting at 8 o'clock last night when the sun went down. We celebrated the beginning of summer on our calendar, not the Gregorian calendar. So we will come back tonight at 8 o'clock. We blow the shofar. We good to go. Shalom, everybody. Hallelujah. All praise to the Most High, y'all. And if you can hear me, I just need somebody, one person to push one. All right, I got you, 540. Thank you so much. All praise. Hallelujah. Wow. What an interesting day it is. There's a lot going on all over the world. I had a topic that dropped into my mind today when I was talking to my grandson, and it just was an interesting topic, and I want to give everybody a chance. Let's give them about another 2 minutes to call in, whoever's going to call in. We have enough on here right now. You know, with all the things that are going on, I have two questions for you, and we know what the outcome of this is going to be. We know what the biblical outcome says that it's going to be, and we know what the natural outcome of it is going to be. However, we have children that are in the street that this is all new to. Some of our children have never experienced the white prejudice that exists today. Their whole surroundings have been black. Black schools, black neighborhoods, black stores, black everything. These children have been living in some sort of a bubble, you know, unless something happens to someone that they know. The only thing they have experienced is black-on-black crime. They know that, but they don't know this. So for some children, it's very easy, other than what they see on television, to minimize the danger of this whole situation, you know, because it's not an isolated situation. It's something that has always been, you know, because truly there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing. So in knowing that, I think the biggest question, knowing that we're on a fault with Israel, and this is for Israel, some of you are conscious and some of you are becoming conscious, you know, we know that our ultimate goal is to leave here. A lot of people don't know that. They don't understand that. Some people are not biblically based, so they don't believe it. And it's fine that we understand that there's only going to be a remnant, but it's going to be a very large remnant of all nations that are coming with us, because each captivity that we left out of, those people from those nations joined us. My first question is this. You have a house, and I was trying to explain this to my grandson. You find this great big old house in the field, and there's a farm behind the house. The house has all kinds of vegetables and trees and all kinds of things, and you're growing things, and this house is occupied by someone, but you want this house. So you decide you're going to take the house. And in taking the house, you don't realize that you're fulfilling prophecy, but you're taking the house from the people who are already in the house. And so you, through war or through finagling or through scheming or through lying or conning or whatever it is, you manage to get control of the house. Now, the people that are in the house, you promise them certain benefits of letting you take control of the house, and you breach that promise. Then you realize, because of the field and because how big the house is, you need servants. So you bring servants from another place, from another country, to come over and to work the field and to keep the house. And now you're the owner of the house. And the servants are the servants. And this was the question that I posed to my grandson. I said, knowing that that's the situation, and if you were the owner of the house, would you ever let the slave be equal with you in owning the house and being treated like the owner of the house? And he looked at me. I said, honestly, say you own the house. The people that you have bought as slaves, that have worked the fields and picked the greens and got the stuff off the trees and the green beans and all of the stuff, would they ever be part owner of the house if it's your house? I have that's the question I want to ask. Now, I'm just asking. I want somebody to answer that question for me from your own perspective. Because the reason why I'm doing this is because, you know, we have a lot of people out there that are activists. And there's nothing wrong with being an activist. I'm one. I'm nothing wrong with it at all whatsoever. However, we've got to try to get the children to understand the situation that we're in as a people. So I just want to know, you know, would you make the slave part owner of the house? And you own the house. You know, and we have to be able to put it in scenarios where they understand, because everybody's hollering, you know, we want to be equal. We want equal rights, and we want to be treated equal. Because that's what the paperwork says on the deed of the house, that everyone that's in the house, that is owners of the house, should be treated equal. You know, but there's a rider to the mortgage that says, you know, that slaves, is the slave. And you have to do something to change the writer of the mortgage, because you own the house. You own the house and the field. So I just want to know, and when I asked him that question, you know, he kind of gave me this look. I said, and the reason why I'm asking that question is so that you can understand with the standpoint from where we are as a people from a prophetic standpoint. So I'm going to start with area code 314, and I'm going to give your comment, and then we're going to cut you off, and then we're going to open up somebody else's mic. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Area code 314, your mic is open, you're on the air.
I don't know, but when you get ready to go back to, where is the land going to be at?
Where's the land going to be at?
Yeah.
That's not the question. Can you answer, do you have an answer for the question?
About.
Okay, I'm going to have to move on. We move on, you know, because this is a long show. Area code, we'll come back to you, area code 314. Area code 408, your mic is open. What do you say about that?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I just want to say something about the house. Can you hear me testing the 1-2 on the microphone?
I can hear you.
All right, all right. Let me just, you know, you saying stuff, right? You know, you saying things. And when you say stuff, people outside of yourself, when they be listening to what you saying, they also, some of these folks, be listening what the spirit is appraising that you're hearing. The spirit appraises the words that you speak to let that person know if you're speaking the truth in love or if it's just somebody over there just talking about what they thinking.
Okay.
So I just want to kind of, jump into this thing, and I want to kind of, you know, I'm not going to take over or anything, but I want to kind of bring it to you know, I want to paint a picture with my words, if you will. So I hope it's okay with you if I do this.
Only if you can answer the question. Now, I can come back to you once we finish the question about the house. Now, what about the
house?
You're asking
about the house. Now, remember Abraham?
Yes.
God told Abraham to leave where he was, which he was familiar with, and to go somewhere where he wasn't familiar with, and that was the promised land that we live in right now.
Okay.
So you remember Moses was the younger one because Aaron, his brother, was older than him, right?
Right.
Okay. So when God took his kid out of Egypt, he didn't use Moses to do it. He used Aaron. You know why he used Aaron?
Why did he use
Aaron? Because Aaron was a slave in Egypt, and we are a slave where we are with this situation that we go through. Okay?
Okay, but let me ask you the question about the house. If you own the house,
God gave you, I'm talking to you, God gave you a gift, and that's the gift of himself who lives inside of who you are. And I know you got a rough stone. You know, that's the surface of who you are, the granite surface of who you are. But when we get underneath the surface of who you are, we get to what's sacred, because we're talking about the presence of Yahweh in your life. You understand what I'm saying?
You still not answering my question. I'm going to have to move on because you got to answer the question.
All right.
If you go ahead and move on.
I'll be here. If you want to get me back on and unmute my mic, we talk about it live because this is a live performance in front of a live audience, okay?
All right, I'll be back. You just hold that thumb. Anybody else? Area code 540. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
If I own the house as the slave master, I am not going to relinquish it completely to the slave. Because even though the slave would take great care of it, do whatever, maybe make great improvements, in the end, when I look at it, knowing how these, you know, people think, that house looks so good now, I'm going to take my house back because now it's worth more. So I wouldn't advise the slave to go into that agreement.
Because they're not going to honor the agreement.
Yeah, the owner is not going to honor that agreement. You can't rest securely and comfortably.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
because he will not want you to get above him.
Oh.
He wouldn't want you to drive by and say, oh, that house looks so much better now since he has this person in there. They don't want to hear that. They don't want that being said. They always want to be above. Oh, the house used to look good, but now this person is there, the house is looking bad. That will make him happy. But if you're not that kind of person, I say hold off, save up, get your own. You can't afford your own, don't get into, you know. But if you're going through the slave thing, I wouldn't make that agreement with the owner. No.
All right. Very good. Thank you. She said no. I wouldn't make that agreement with the owner because the owner is not going to ever relinquish the right to the house. Hold on. We going somewhere with this. I know you see where we're going. Area code 470, your mic is open. What about you? If you had the house and you had slaves to work the house, would you share in ownership with the slave and the house?
Four seven eight. Shalom.
Yes,
my thing is no, and I wouldn't, but it would also depend on how I treated those slaves in that house. If I was a person that I know deep in my heart that they went to hell and back in that house, no, I would never give them an opportunity to own anything in that house because of what they might do after they come up and become equal footing with. That's just how it goes, and that's how it goes in this nation. As far as anything else, if I treat them on an equal footing, yeah, I would give them some, but never completely the whole house. Never the whole house.
You know, my grandson said the same thing. He said, no, Grandma, I would not let him own the house. I said, you would never let him own the house? He said, no, I would never let him own the house. And he said, I would let them work on the field, and I would make their living conditions better, but I would never let them own the house. So they'd never be equal with you? He said, no, Grandma, they would never be equal with me. I said, why? He said, because I'm the owner of the house.
Hold on. Thank you so much, area code 718. I'm going to open it back up in a minute. Area code 770, your mic is open. You're on the air. What about the house?
Shalom. This is Adonia. Well, we have to look at it. So if we know about the scriptures, we have to look at it from Joseph's point. Joseph came and he gained favor of the Pharaoh at that particular time, and Pharaoh allowed him to oversee the whole kingdom, or his whole province, you understand? But he never gained any complete ownership of anything. He was favored and everything. So I'm looking at it from that aspect myself.
So you say no. Okay, that's what we're going to get a consensus. We're going somewhere here. Thank you so much for your comment. Area code 720, your mic is open. What about the house?
Well, I would say that if I were a person who wanted to keep the slave happy and keep him working well and keep him serving me, I would be deceptive and keep promising him different parts or give him different liberties or promise him that over time he will inherit the house or have an equal footing or have part ownership of the house. And I'd have to be pretty clever about how to keep this slave thinking that at some point he will get the house, but not allow him the truth of really knowing what my intentions were, which would be never owning my house. Because I would want to leave
okay.
the house to my descendants.
Oh, you would want to leave them to your descendants. You know, that's the
yes.
part that never came out before. And see, this is clever because, and I know you guys understand where I'm going with this, because we have to understand One major principle in this whole dynamic is that we came here as slaves, that this was considered to be a punishment because we were told that we were going to be punished. Now, like she said, which was so profound, we've had certain liberties afforded to us that made conditions better, but the ultimate goal was to never be equal with the owner of the house. Because it's never meant, because guess what? I own the house. You know, and we have to understand as simple as we, that's as simple. You know, when this drops in my brain, I say, yeah, you are awesome. Because it's simple as simple as an ownership situation. And we have to be able to understand that this was never meant for us to own. This was meant for us to come and to work, and we've been afforded because of different laws that have been passed and different liberties that we have been afforded. We just live decently because we are still considered living in the land of our captivity. We're still here. It doesn't matter what you own, how it's called. The Most High told you to do that in Babylon. He said, when you get in Babylon, make peace with the city, live, build houses, have children, you know, don't diminish your population, but you're going to be there for a while. We have had that experience here, and there's injustice in the way things are done to the slaves. But in reality, the things that we have to be focused with is to realize we have to have some realization that we will never own the house. We will never be equal with the owner of the house because the owner will never, he wants to leave the house to his descendants. And it's as simple as that.
So all of your activists and all of your people have been hooping and hollering, we're going to vote people in that's going to change the situation. No, you're not. No, you're not. You may afford you a little bit more liberty, and, you know, and it may rail back some of the killings, but you'll never be equal with the owner of the house. It that's not logical.
It's not logical. And we have to be able to understand that those are the things that we have to be able to put into play to understand it's not logical. But the Most High never told us to do that. He never told us to try to own and possess this land. He gave us 400 years, Genesis 15:13. We have been here for 400 years. August the 20th of 2020, it would be 401. He said that in this prophecy, that the nation would be judged, and it looks like that's what we're going through right now. And then the next thing to happen is that he was going to bring us out, who is us, the slave, with great substance that we're coming out. The goal is to get ready to go back to the land that he gave us. But if you're trying to own the house, or be equal with the owner of the house, you're wasting your time because that doesn't make sense. And everybody on here is Israelite that can say, if I own the house, you'll never be equal with me. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up everybody's mic who answered the question, and then we're going to do feedback. So everybody's mic who answered the question, I mean, do you understand the simplicity of the example that we gave? Everybody's mic is open.
Ain't that what he did with Joseph?
Yeah. Yeah.
We never see ownership of the house, you understand? And maybe that was by design. You understand, of the Almighty, because that was set up. I mean, when Moses came on the scene, we were leaving out of Egypt. You understand, but we never gained ownership. But we had a lot of leeway. You understand, he gave us land in Goshen. You understand, so we had a lot of leeway, but we never gained no ownership.
Or was considered equal with the Egyptians.
That is correct. Well, not necessarily so, because Moshe, you understand, was the head of the host of Egypt, you understand? So he had, matter of fact, he had the little insignia ring where he could make decisions. Understand what I meant?
I do, yes, sir. I do, 100%. You know? And, you know, the riots are, I mean, not the riots, but the protest is something that everybody understands. We understand all those things. And the reason why I said that is our focus from this point on should be getting ready to leave the land. That should be our focus.
Everybody don't have the same focus because we're dealing with the people that are not understanding who we are. You understand? And when we don't understand who we are, you understand what I'm saying? We're going to have a different perspective. We're going to be under a different perspective. You understand? So, with my understanding, if you have the knowledge of the scriptures, how it's written and what it says, then we will, you have a different perspective. But a lot of us don't have that perspective. Hallelujah.
And I did say that earlier. I said for those that are conscious and those who know who we are as a people, yes, we know what's going on, and we have to give this information. And when the time comes for it to click, it clicks. But at the end of the day, we were never supposed to get comfortable here in this land. Now, it doesn't mean that anybody has the right to murder you or for us to murder ourselves. It doesn't make it right. However, our goal, again, is to get prepared and get ready for the Most High to gather his people and us go back to the land that he gave us. Because no matter what happens, the land of Canaan belongs to us. So knowing that, When you see city after city, protest after protest, people after people, you know, protesting, you know, yes, Black Lives Matter. It is very important that, you know, we are not singled out and murdered in the street like animals. All those things are, yes, absolutely. We do deserve the same amount. Well, we deserve an education. You know, we deserve housing and all those things to make sure that the slave is, like she said, liberties, afforded certain liberties. You know, we have made it to Congress. We have made it. We've got doctors and lawyers and all of those things, and we have made it there. But we still can never forget that we are living in the land of our captivity. Our descent, our ancestors came here as slaves.
We have to remember also that every kinfolk, so you're going to find a lot of us, people that look like us, not wanting to leave the land of captivity because there's so many people coming up now lately that, oh, this is the land. This is our land. Well, you know what? When Yah says, go get my children and it's time for us to leave, I tell you, I'm leaving. They're going to have this land because it makes no sense. The Bible is clear. But you're always going to have people who believe to the contrary. So I said, okay, if that's your belief, believe what you want. I'll accept what Yah said.
That's whose report are you going to believe? You know, and like you said something so profound. The Bible, the word of Yah is clear. It is what it is. You have a choice whether you believe it or not. And that's going to be the choice that you're going to have to make. But it is clear as to what it says and what it means. Hold on, let me open up the mic. Area code 903, your mic is open, you're on the air. What do you say about the house and the slaves and all of it that we were talking about?
Hello, how y'all doing? All right.
Wonderful.
I wanted to just kind of throw in the conversation with a lot of people that do believe the Bible and but they struggle with leaving America because they feel like they got Native American roots, and and that is their biggest issue. We're holding on to the sacred land, and they pretty much bent on having revenge and getting their land back.
I agree with you. But again, well, guess what? They're going to have to make a decision.
The only reason that a lot of our brothers and sisters are so attached to this land is because they have all of these amenities, but the Almighty said he's going to destroy this place. Now, what they going to do then? Where their heart's going to be at then? I relinquish the mic.
But again, everybody has a choice that they have to make. But the prophecy is clear. Like you said, the Bible's clear. Go ahead, sir.
But that's at this time, Sister Yaina. Right now, everybody, you know, even myself, I get a little apprehensive, you understand, on us leaving, but not on us leaving, but I get apprehensive and thinking that everything's going to be all right, you understand, when if I look down inside, this decision that you asking me to make here can only be based on where I'm at now. But when this place gets tore all up, what you going to do? Because if we remember now, the history repeats itself. You understand? We got kicked out of, we left out of Goshen, out of Egypt, you understand? And it was destroyed. Even when it was destroyed, while we was in the wilderness, people were saying, oh, I wish we were back in Egypt, you understand? You brought us out here to kill us, you understand? But there's not going to be an America, or there's not going to be a Western culture as we see it today. It's going to be tore up from the floor, you understand? So their decision will have to change. Hallelujah.
But I'm just saying, to Eric Code 903, I can understand how you feel, and that is very true. Those are some of the things. There's going to be a lot of things that people are going to hold on to say, well, I don't know about where we're going, and I'm not really sure. But guess what? One thing about Yah's word is it does not come back void.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I definitely agree with that. But the wilderness, we seem like a lot of folks don't seem to agree on what the wilderness is. You know, there's some folks that, you know, kind of take it as the wilderness is a state of mind, or it could be literally us traveling across the water to the other side of the world, you know, to the original wilderness that's in the scripture. But, you know, there's not a lot of folks sold on Africa, going into Africa and waiting there in the wilderness or in the desert. In Iraq or something, and waiting over there. Because before we come into our land, to my understanding, that's we're going to come face to face and be judged by the Most High. Before, you know, and he's going to put his laws in us and all that good stuff there. So there's a bunch of things supposed to happen to the land before we actually go up in. So it's basically the wilderness is what we're kind of stuck on. What is the wilderness? Where is it at? And when somebody say, yeah, let's go to Ghana or you know, Nigeria or whatever, and that's going to be our wilderness, then, you know, there's a lot of arguments. We're going in circles. Unity, us agreeing, is what we need to be seeking right now. Just us coming on one accord on where we want to go or you know, we might not even have a choice in where we're going, but I'm just saying, you know, that's the type of conversation we need to have. Thank you.
Let me ask a question here.
Go ahead,
brother. Let me ask a question, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Okay, see, no, well, I don't want to ask a question. I just want to make an affirmation. You understand? If we read the book, it gives us an understanding on what we are to be doing and what to expect. You understand? It says that we got to be taken from one place and to another place. You understand? holy highway, you understand, leading into the wilderness that we're supposed to be dwelling at. And through the wilderness, the holy highway, there's going to be vegetation enough for us to survive on. You understand? Now, you know, so we cannot just sit there and draw our own conclusion, you understand, or our own understanding. We cannot say, well, I'm undecided as this, that, and the other, or is it supposed to be like this? They need to read the book, you understand, or that particular statement that was made. You understand? See, you know, what we don't do, and this is what I find that happens most times. We draw our own conclusion on stuff. We make up stuff. You understand? Instead of reading what it says and going by what it says. Hallelujah. I release the mic.
Okay. So let me do this. 903. I appreciate your comment. I will leave your mic open, but I have to open up area code 405. Your mic is open. You're on the air. What would you like to say?
Shalom, shalom, Ms. Fakaz. I was listening to the show, and I'm so elated that you brought up about the house. And that was a beautiful example or topic that I agree with some about what the house is and if I would give it up. I agree with your son or your grandson, what he said he would do with his home. If you go to the Torah in Exodus, the 21st chapter, it deals with how the Most High had Moses to deal with slaves. We dealt with our slaves, not giving them our possessions, but a portion of what we felt that they needed. They did not, because everything that you got is an inheritance. You don't give up the house because you have an inheritance to give it up. And the slaves, you treat them in a respectable way. And I believe our laws was that they were only slaves for 6 years. And when after the 6 years, when you release them, they got whatever portion that they need where they wasn't suffering any. And if they wanted to stay, they could stay, but they have a portion of land. So it was a way that we were treated that we know that for a fact that we're in a foreign land. This is not our land. And our people have to realize that they have to come to themselves. And when they come to themselves, now all this marching that's going on, it should be marching and saying we want our own land. You know, take us back to where we were. Give us our land because we are a nation. Because no way can two nations live in one nation and have the same laws or be equal. We cannot be, because we are a different people. We have a different culture. So until we wake up, when we wake up, then we know, don't give me your laws and give me and tell me, treat me right and all that, because you never will, because you have never been in the position that I have. So therefore, you took me from somewhere, take me back. Give me back my land, and then it's over. You can have your land, and I can be in mine.
Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely. You know what? That's so powerful, what you said. Never has two nations been sustained in the same location and been equal one with another. The Most High never designed it to be that way. Every nation has its own plot of land.
Hallelujah. Own laws.
But until they realize that we're a nation, because I took some heat behind that. When I came up with we're a nation, the Hebrew Israelite men came up to me, we ain't no nation. We ain't no nation. Now, I said, you need to read the scriptures, because the scripture says that we are a nation of people. And until they realize that, you know what? They'll be marching for a different cause.
Correct.
They will. You know, so I think that's great. That you brought that up. for real, because that is serious business. And you, like you said, you got a whole nother nation that is marching for a different, for a cause from another nation. They'll never get it. You'll never get it. And for you all who want to know that, that scripture, that is Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 36.
Matter of fact, read chapter 30.
Yeah, Jeremiah 30. But he said, if those ordinances, if the sun and the moon and the stars cease from existing, he said, then you will cease from being a nation before me. We are a nation of people, and we out in the middle of the street trying to get honor, and we trying to get equal rights from another nation to be in, to occupy the same land space that we were never supposed to be occupying. We were only brought here because we were slaves, and it was a punishment from the Most High. It's time to get ready, like you said, send us back where we came from. That'll solve the problem. And you know what the bad part is? Is you get tired of the same old folks trying to rally for the same old, we need to vote, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to change the laws. We've done that for the last 60-70-some-odd years or longer.
And he didn't do
and
anything.
And it's still the same situation. So, yes, sis, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was just agreeing with you.
You know, it's the same situation. And like you said, two nations can't occupy the same space equally. You can't do it. And there's no way you can assimilate into this nation, because the Most High has separated the people on the land all over the world by nation.
Hallelujah.
And they want to say, oh, we all one blood, it's one mankind, and it's one blood, and we all bleed red. But that's not how the Most High sees it. We're all separated into nations. And until we realize that, it's going to be a never-ending situation. It's going to be never-ending. When the problem is solved, he said we was leaving, and let me say this about where. The Most High, I tell everybody all the time, this book is like a play he wrote. He wrote the end from the beginning. So the location, all the amenities and all the necessities that we need has already been prepared. The land we're going to land on and the place we're going to go is already, you don't have to go back and reinvent the wheel. All we have to do is get prepared for the time. Because when that prophecy and that time is ready to be fulfilled, you'll know it, just like you knew it when it came time for you to know you was an Israelite. He woke you up. It's going to be just the light bulb's going to click on, and you're going to be saying, you're going to say, that's where we're supposed to go. And all of it's going to be set up, because he does things decent and in order. Guess what he does? He's going to initiate somebody to go before the government and tell them, let my people go. We don't have to run out. You ain't going to have to sell all your things that you have. It's going to be done just like it was done before, and you're going to have to make a decision. Do I believe this Bible and do what the Bible says, or do I stay? And that's the decision you're going to make. And like you said, they rallying in the street. You rallying for the wrong cause. Just rallying for the wrong cause. Because you'll never own the house. Because if it was your house, you wouldn't let the slave own it. My grandson said, no, Grandma, I wouldn't let him own the house. I said, okay, now you know the story. You never own the house.
I just want to throw that in there, that it's not quite their house either, for those of us who got Native American ancestry.
And I understand that, because guess what? I have some in my family as well. However, if you go through the scriptures, when the Most High wants something to be done, he always initiates another nation to do it. And unfortunately, they had to come here and do what they did so we could come here and serve this sentence. It was a part of the prophecy. But again, those people that consider themselves to be Native American have to belong somewhere too, because nobody will be left on this part of the land when it's all said and done.
Right.
You know, so when you understand, you know, that the prophecy has to be, we just read that yesterday when we was doing Bible class in 1 Samuel chapter 28, 27, 28, and 29.
that just blew me away, how the Most High hid David among in the land of the Philistines, while the Philistines went to fight against Saul so that David could move in position of king, of the king. He was hid out in the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines was the one that had to take Saul down. So he does that kind of stuff to be able to let you know I'm in control. So it's going to get real interesting to see, but, you know, everybody's answer was right on point. Everybody gave some very, very, very interesting and important feedback on that, and everybody was on point when it came to that. Really. Because you got to understand, and sometimes, you know, you have to just put it simple. It's simple. It's simple. You know, so that you can understand the house. It's just real simple. It is. And when you can look at it from that perspective, then guess what? You bring everything into view. And you say, okay, well, we need to be focusing on something else. What else do we need to be focusing on in order to make this better for us? And the Most High told us to do one thing. He said, gather yourselves together, O nation not desired. That's what he said. You know, but then you, like we said, we're so fragmented. We got the church telling the people they're going to fly away one day. You're going, in the name of Jesus, you're going to fly away. You got that going on. And then you got the people on the street just hooping and hollering. We want to be treated equal. It's never going to, you're never going to be equal. It's just not.
You know what really gets me, what I can't figure out for the life of me, is that they say, if we vote this time, it's going to be different. We got everything. We got reasons to vote this. Didn't they say that same thing the last time we voted? Ain't that the same thing?
That sure did. Yes, sir.
How much of it changed? Did anything change?
They say it every time. Every 4 years, they say the same thing. They regurgitate that same information, and we think we have hope once again.
Nothing changes. I'm telling you, nothing changes. You know, and here's another thing. We got more people out there, you understand, revolting and revivalists, you understand? And see, each time that we, every 4 years, and every time we have these big old rallies, we get more people. And it never changes. You understand, there was a bunch of people from the other nation that was there. Those are the same people that was there that couldn't do nothing the last time.
That's the truth. Because guess what? You don't own the house. And if you don't own the house, you can't expect nothing. You're not going to never own the house.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just thinking that we were conditioned to think that we owned the house with the song that we learned in school about this land is your land, this land is my And so we were conditioned to think that we were going to get ownership, and yet because we didn't know who we were tricked. So I think that the best thing for us to come to understand is that we have our own and that the Most High has promised to his children, and that's us.
Absolutely.
And our job is to make sure that our children know, and we have to give them the house scenario. We have to share the house scenario with them that you don't own the house. You know, and when you can put it like that and ask them, if it was your house, would you let me take it over and I was the slave? Would you let me own it? My grandson said, no, Grandma. He had that puzzle look like, no, I wouldn't. I go, okay, there's your answer then. You got to always understand the house is owned by somebody. And like the sister said, two nations is occupying the same space. There's no, that's not even humanly possible, because not only does that doesn't work, you got two different governments in the same, sharing the same location. You have a democracy on one hand and a monarch on the other hand, and it just is not going to work. We were never meant to be under this government. It was never meant for us to live like this. But because we were disobedient, He said, since you want to worship their gods, I'm going to put you with them, and you're going to realize what you have done. And believe me, we have made our mistakes.
It don't even work with the government. They got two different governments. They got the Republicans, and they got the Democrats. And it hasn't worked
yet.
No.
I mean, you're just working against yourself, basically. And it's just, you know, you don't know what to really, you just got to give them the scenario of the house. It's just simple as that. I mean, you know, you've heard, like I said, we have heard Louis Farrakhan. I know when I was a little girl, he'd been shouting for the last 58 years that I heard of. And then we had Martin Luther King do what he did, and bless his soul, he did what he had to do. And then they put some more people out there. Marcus Garvey was out there, Malcolm X, and all of the great leaders of their time that stepped out there and did what they needed to do. But guess what? It still was, like she said, it was to give us a better treatment. You know, we were given certain amenities, but we was never going to own the house. We just wasn't going to own the house. I'm sorry. Guess not. You know, and you just look and you, like I said, we have the solution. We do. Israel has the solution. But all we can do is watch them walk. It's just like a hamster on a hamster wheel. You just keep going around and around and around and around and around. And it's like, you know, we just watching the wheel turn around, and we in the corner like, yoo-hoo, we know what to do. All you got to do is come over here and see. We know what to do. But we can't do nothing until the Most High opens up their ears for them to hear.
The Balfour Declaration, they gave Israel to a group of people that didn't nearly have as many people that we have. They were out of place, and the UN gave them a land, which was ours, but they gave them a land that wasn't even, because they had never been there before. But yet and still, that's what they petitioned for. And all this marching should be petitioned for a land outside this land. Now, Marcus Garvey and the rest tried to get different portions of the United States, which was Georgia, and then later they said, okay, we'll give them another place, but we'll call it an Indian place, and we'll call all those people died, and they're called the Trail of Tears, and they're Indians. Those people were no more Indians than I guess you and I were. They weren't. I did research. I'm from that land. And my family has been in this land since the Trail of Tears. And when I found out through my grandmother, she did a testimony in the state about getting her Indian rights. And what happened? They asked her, were you with the Trail of Tears? How many of you all came down? And she said it was all of us was Negroes, every one of them. So I don't believe any of their history because it's something they want you to believe. But the land of Oklahoma is a black territory, not an Indian territory. That's why they burned down Black Street, because there were blacks here. We were cultivating the land, and they thought it was a rich soil, but we made it rich. Red dirt. Everything we touched turned to gold. And what did they do? Andrew Jackson, president, sent somebody here. They looked at it, and they said, oh, those Negroes is really going. Well, we need to send them some people there to control it. And then next thing you know, they open up the border lines, the lines to Kansas and Texas, and say, okay, let's call it the Sooner Run. And they came over and took over. So all this stuff
because
that they said, oh, this is our land. Correct.
You don't own the house. You don't own the house. They're going to take
you
over every time because you don't own the house.
It never did. It was just the land of our captivity. We were here just briefly, just like in Exodus 21. When you get a slave, you bring it to your land, and after 6 years, you release them. And if they want to stay, they can. But you can tell them, go back home.
That is correct.
But guess what? Our 6 years were prophesied to 400 years. And we had to do 400 years and we did those 400 years in this land. And like you said, now we should be able to walk up and petition and say, just like the lady asked me when we went to Washington, D.C., after we had did the prayer for the 400 years, she said, well, what is it that you all want? I said, we want to go home. We should be able to petition to be able to go somewhere on the land, of Canaan. But guess what? We don't, like I said earlier, we don't even have to do that. When the time comes, the Most High is going to make the way. We don't have to do none of that. All we have to do is do what he said, and that's to gather ourselves.
Absolutely.
And get ready when the time comes for it to open up
all
to leave here, because it ain't going to never change.
That's all we got. We stick around here, man. We're going to get the worst treatment that you ever could. If, especially if Mr. Trump, you understand, becomes president. You think we're getting bad treatment now? We in big trouble. If we talk about staying here.
Also, no army, no navy, no air force, no type of Marines anywhere is going to be able to stop us from leaving when y'all said time to go.
No.
Hallelujah.
They're going to part open like the Red Sea.
Yes, sir.
They're going to, I'm serious. Y'all is going to handle that. He's going to handle it.
Yes, he is.
Well, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. See, we got to remember that we have a power in the Almighty that no other nation has. This was only a punishment. Mm-hmm. And he gave us an opportunity of a lifetime, because he gave us a chance to come back to him, to the word, to the understanding. You understand? And once we come back to him after our 400 years, not going to be before, all of those martyrs that we had and all of that, they was only holding us in place. That's all. You understand? Until these last 400 mm-hmm. years. Because without them models, they probably would have annihilated us.
The true people who are the Hamites, they were the ones that came over to discover this thing. And they brought some of us with them. It's evidence that is out there. But the thing is that history, white history, will not allow that information out. You had a lady named Queen Khalifa out in California. That's where they get the name California from. And she ruled her kingdom. And when stuff happened, man, she was able to go on to deal with it. But of course, you know, through wars and also through attrition, eventually she had lost out. But another thing is that when you go out to the Grand Canyon, there are Egyptian artifacts out there in those caves about that. The U.S. military is out there. They're not allowing anybody to go down there into that section. So that lets me know that we were here first. Now, when we came here, other people was also coming here also from Asia. And they blended in with each other. Some of them did. And they migrated all the way down there to South America. So, I mean, you know, we were here first. The white man is just a daggone Johnny come lately. That's all he is. But because he was willing to kill, steal, and destroy, he was able to take over the land. And he was willing to go ahead on also to do whatever it took, such as to make machines that would help him, such as the musket or the gun, using gunpowder and explosives. The Native Americans here, and also the black people here that was here, they didn't have weapons like that. And that's why they were able to take over, because it was prophesied that they would do it.
Yeah, brother, was that the Hamites or was that the Hebrews? Because I have a hard time wrapping my mind around Hebrews coming here and building pyramids here in this land. So they were Hamites. That's what my thought is.
I mean, there were some Hebrews that came
with them. Go ahead. I'll let you get that out, but let's not get caught on that, because I got another question. Brother William, go ahead and answer her question.
I'm done.
Well, go ahead. I'll let you answer. Okay, let me ask you a question. Remember I told you I had two questions. We talked about the house and the ownership between the owner and the slave and who would own the house. My next question to you would be, and I want you to be very professional when you give this answer, when it's time for you to give this answer, and because I want you to be honest about the way you feel, if you had to say, Dear America, if you had to write a letter and talk to America before you left this land.
I've given you my back. I've given you my hands. I've even given you my blood, whether here or on foreign lands. You have really, really turned against me in every which way. I've been loyal. I have been also willing to sacrifice. But yet it is still never enough. What little that I did have, you took from me. You took my language, my culture, the worshiping of my Elohim, and yet still it wasn't enough. You have beaten me and have killed me, separated me from my family. And I do not know all of my family. I do not know my history. So, America, I'm just willing to go ahead on and part ways from you, stay in your land where you are. Don't come. Do not come and visit. Leave me alone. Leave us alone. If you enter my grounds or my airspace, if I have the power, if y'all give us the power to drive you off, that is exactly what we will do if it is agreed upon by all of our peoples. And if it's sanctioned, especially by Yah, that would be my letter to them. And then I would
and
end
you
it
would
with,
say
and,
sincerely yours.
Yes, sincerely yours.
You gotta end it. You gotta end it with a sincerely yours now.
Not really. No.
Okay.
Because I really
okay.
want to say is, well, I'm not going to say that.
I know you want to. I know you want to. I know you want to. Okay. That's very good. That's very, very good. Now somebody else. We go. This is our final farewell to this country, and you're writing a letter. Now, you got to put an ending on it. He said, not sincerely yours, but whatever you want to. If you had to write a letter, and this was the last time that you would see this land, what would you say to America? Anybody else?
I think
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Somebody.
I'm waiting on them. All right. Well, I know I would say that I would write up to the effect of what Brother just said and just kind of adding to it at the end was that you was never sorry and you get what you deserve. I once they fall, I desire to come back and reign over here also. I believe it is going to be a worldwide thing. I don't think we're just going to be in Israel with Christ. I like to think that he's going to have us move around and cover this whole world. So, but, you know, that's just my understanding of it. I look forward to that. I would write in that letter that you're going to get what you deserve for not being sorry. For not showing any mercy. And no mercy is going to come to you. And I just pray that I'll be there in that day when the predictions of Obadiah take place.
All right. Now, very good. Very good. Okay, now, the next person, you got to say, Dear America, you writing a letter. Just address it like you're writing a letter.
Dear America, kiss my black. So long.
That's it? That's all?
That's it.
Thank you for being very grateful, because we could have said, beep, okay, we in the next person. Somebody else, if you had to write a letter and say, Dear America, this was the last time that you was going to be able to leave this kind of information to this country, what would you say?
Dear America, I have served my 400 years with my ancestors, and I am going back to my Abba. Farewell. And since I sincerely would like to give you my real name, but you took that from me years and years ago. Bye.
Okay. That sounds like a plan. Anybody else? Dear America, what would you say?
Bye, Felicia.
Anybody else? Dear America, what would you say? Brother
Rockland,
you had something you was gonna say?
I was just gonna say that, you know, what Brother Williams said was right on point. But if I had to say anything to him, I would just, oh man, that's hard. I probably, you know, you wanna be nice, I guess, but if I had to say what was on my heart, I would say, you reap what you sow. Burn, baby, burn.
See, that's what's wrong with
you. Okay.
We too nice. I wouldn't be nice because they wasn't nice to me.
All right. I said, you read what you sow, Master. All right. Anybody else?
Surely there was some good times here. I mean, it wasn't all bad, was it?
Yeah, it was all bad.
Yes, it was. It was
well,
all bad. I mean,
we made it good because we were able to live among ourselves and create some good times. But when you think about the family structure that was just destroyed, I mean, we were able to recreate family, but our initial families that we started out with were spread all over they were traded and sold and all of that. So, you know, some of our ancestors that we consider our ancestors really belong to somebody else. We can only work from the period where he was studded out to create this other line. You know, because most of the black men were studded out so that they could create more slaves. So even though I could trace my grandfather's slave back to Silas Crittenden, you still got to understand who Silas was. He was a slave that was started out by the slave master, by the Crittenden slave master, to be able to bring about more slaves. And from that, they were able to maybe look on another one of the slave women and say, you're going to be my wife. But even then, the owner had rights to the wife where he would sleep with her too. So, you know, when we start thinking about our lineage and our heritage and where we came from, it's all twisted up. But that too was y'all. You know, and those things happen to us because of y'all. You know, my thing would be, if I had to write a letter, I would say to them, Dear America, you know, even though you were used by the Most High to do the things that you have done, the danger of this situation that we're in now is that you don't understand that in every situation where we was in captivity and he came back to get his people, he dealt with the nation that he used to put us in captivity. And the very thing that you have done to us will be done to you by the Most High himself, and that there is no fear when it comes to the fact that it's okay for you to do what you're doing. But again, one day you're going to have to meet up with Yah. And the compassion that we expected and the compassion that should have been given, well, there won't be any. And it's going to be a sad day, you know, because we've already served our sentence. And like we said, we have to go back and repair the breach. We have to go back and put everything back the way it's supposed to be, meet our other families that were sold to other people and sisters and brothers and husbands and wives. You know, one of you all could have been my husband, and we went on the auction block, and I went to Virginia, and you went to Texas somewhere, and we all started families with other people. The whole structure has been messed up. So at least we're at the point now where we can get ready to start to repair. But as far as they're concerned, they're at a whole other level now. And then the sad part about it is you can't even see it. And then my ending would be, God, y'all see that it come quickly. Because you're going to pay for what you have done. Because
they
white
can trace
people
to
is
it.
Like that.
They can trace their lineage back to Europe.
Yeah.
We can't trace
well,
ours.
We can.
They know the lineages of
no.
their people. We don't know ours.
What? No. No.
We know it. We know where we came from. We probably know that a kingdom was written. But that's what I'm saying. The anger that we should, we have a right to have is the fact that we had our kingdom taken away from us. We had everything, probably more than what they had, and we had it ripped from us, murdered, slaughtered. Everything was taken. And I believe the Most High wanted us to have the anger and jealous of the fact that we were in bondage or we were treated the way we were, or they took him and made an image out of him and threw it in our face, their own image, and threw it in our face and had us to worship a different God or worship him in a different way. Or they took our Torah, they took our book and claimed it and said it was theirs. They went along and tried to change some things so that we wouldn't know who we were. And then and you expect for me to write them a nice letter? Hell no.
Well, look, Erica, 903, I had to mute your mic because it sounded like you was driving. I'm going to reopen it again because there, I got you open. But, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, it's going to be very interesting because that's the next thing to happen by prophecy is that we're leaving.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yes, ma'am, I'm a truck driver. I'm sorry about that. But I also wanted to say that we still got rough times ahead of us. Even going in this wilderness, it won't be easy. So I just, you know, just want to throw that in. This is not over with yet. There's still so much pain still to come. We all need to get our minds right on that. It's just not going to be peaches and cream parting from this land and going into the wilderness. There's still a lot that's still supposed to go down.
It's not going to be no chips, no soup, no tulips.
Mm-hmm. But guess what? Y'all will be there, and wherever he is, that's where I want to be. You know, and that's just, you know, I'd rather be with him and struggle than be here without him and struggle worse. You know, because, I mean, you know, you got to look. All over the news, these people still marching and rallying and, you know. And then, and like me and Michael was saying, if they don't convict those police officers, there is no telling what will happen next. Just not. But when God gets ready, somebody is going to go and negotiate the exit strategy for us to get out of here. He's going to choose somebody to sit down with the powers that be and say, let's make this happen, you know, and we will go back to the land of Canaan, like he said we were going back to it, and we're going to be there. Now, whether we run right into the wilderness or we go back to the land of Canaan and then go into the wilderness, that's yet to be seen, but we are leaving this land, you know, and for all of those people who are not and they want to stay here, that is a choice that you will have to make. But if you do decide, you better be ready for the battle of your life because you either gonna conform or you gonna be they're gonna try to destroy you.
Well, see, that's the question: is it gonna be a choice? Because if it's not gonna be a choice, then I'm whatever comes my way is all good. But you know, if it is a choice, you know, would it be Ghana? Would it be the West Coast Africa? I mean, those are the questions that separate us, you know. I mean, myself, personally, going to Ghana would be all right to me, you know. I think it's a beautiful land, you know. We can be chilling in the wilderness over there, you know. But But at the same time, there's a lot of people that don't feel like they're going to fit in very well. You know what I mean? The America with the mixing pot like it is, they don't feel like they'll fit in very well over there. Skin tone and everything else. So that's one of those dilemmas that I think need to be talked about. I mean, we're going to be on one accord, talked about. Go ahead.
Well, I'm happy being wherever the Most High told our forefather Abraham that he was going to take us. Now, however way that mm-hmm. pans out and however way that transitions out, I'm good with that. So if you're talking about Africa or the Middle East, wherever it is, it's wherever the Most High leads us, I'm going to follow.
That's how I feel. He'll make it plain when the time comes, because somebody's going to have to allow us to be on a certain part of the land. And it's going to be a land that's going to be brought back with the sword. So it's going to be something. He's always taking care of us. And he's never going to stop taking care of us. And like I said, he wrote the end from the beginning, so the place has already been designated. All we have to do is wait for the timing. And when the timing comes and the opportunity presents itself, you'll know in your spirit, just like you know you're an Israelite, that this is the right call to make. Now, there are going to be some people that's going to hang around for different reasons. Jobs, houses, cars, boyfriend, husbands, kids, whatever the reason is, you have to make this choice for you. Some of you parents will have to make this choice for your children. Some of you are going to have to make the choice for yourself, but you're going to have to make the choice.
Absolutely.
You have to make it. It's going to be a choice. And it's not going to go away because he said it was going to happen. And his word does not come back void. It don't.
Absolutely.
It don't come back void. So that's next. We're watching the judgment of this nation. We have seen the things that are going on in the streets. The next major move of that particular Genesis 15, 13, and 14 is that we're coming out with great substance out of the land that we have been in for 400 years as the land of our captivity. And guess what? Yehuda is here, and Yehuda has to go first.
That is correct.
Go first. And guess what it is? It's time to end the show. I have enjoyed myself. I thank you all for being a part of the show. My brother who's a truck driver, please feel free to join us at any time. We have a men's call every Tuesday night. Brother, you're watching, Mom. You want to give him that information?
Yes, ma'am, I will. We have a men's call every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The phone number for the call is 720-820-1215. I'll say it again, 720-820-1215, and that's every Tuesday night at 7:30.
Well, all right, thank y'all very much.
Shalom,
shalom.
Shalom. And the women's call is Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that number is 712-770-4066, and the access code is 154-102-pound, 154-102-pound, and it's every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, the rest of our classes that we have during the week and from on Wednesdays and Thursdays is at 7 o'clock, and the number is the same. It's 319-527-9197, 319-527-9197, and the access code is 256-039-POUND, 256-039-POUND. Please feel free to join us during the week. It's the same call for the Sabbath at 3:30 p.m. on Saturday on the Sabbath. Don't forget tonight, we're meeting on that number at 8 o'clock to end the new season day that we came in with last night. So we started our new summer season, our calendar, and we'll see you guys. It's only going to last for a few minutes, maybe 3 minutes. We're going to blow the shofar, end it. You guys try to be there. And on that note, we say shalom, shalom to everybody. Enjoy your week, and we'll be praying with you. Shalom, shalom, everyone.